that about the Lord being the shepherd of our soul. I think, I don't remember which message that was, but we mentioned and we talked about putting on Christ, right? So there is, if you think of it this way, obviously, we were just talking about the finished work of Jesus, right? And how we have received everything already, right? How one of the things that happens, obviously, as your eyes continue to be enlightened, in other words, as your mind is renewed, one of the things that you begin to understand is the inheritance that's on the inside of you, right? You begin to see, like, wow, like, Lord, it's not about just talking about your finished work. Like, I get, like, everything that you've already given me. Like, I have an inheritance. I'm in possession, right? We as a church are possessors of an inheritance, right? We possess that inheritance. So once that starts happening in your mind, right, and you begin to understand, okay, I possess an inheritance, then, you know, the next logical thing that starts happening in your mind is, what can I do with it, right? Like, so if it's mine, if I have this inheritance, why did you give me something, Lord? Like, why have I been given an inheritance, right? And Paul talks about not just that we would be able to see the inheritance that we have received, but that you would see also and understand the power that is at work in you, right? So as you begin to understand the inheritance that you have, what the thing that follows is you begin to see, Lord, how many times is it that you have told us to put on Christ, to put on the armor of God, to put on the armor of light, right? So many times the Lord talks about putting things on, right? What happens, you know, you hear it even talked about in different ways about working out your salvation with fear and trembling, right? So what the Lord is showing us, right, is that, and has been showing us, is the things that are in us, the intent of them is to come out, right? God didn't make us a new creation inside so that it would stay inside, right? The intention of God is that what is inside of us will come out, right? That the well that we have in us, right, that we would draw from that well and it would be able to come out, right? And this manifestation, right? The church for years has talked about the manifestation of the Spirit. And the one thing that really wasn't ever entirely clear to people is that when you talk about the manifestation of the Spirit, you're talking about what is in you coming out. Right, what is in you being seen. When you lay hands on someone and they're healed, what's in you just came out and it was put on them, right? You laid hands on them and it was put on them, right? And it came upon them, right? As your mind is renewed, the Bible talks about our mind is renewed, we are transformed, right, from glory to glory. So obviously that's not about our spirit. That's talking about us being transfigured. In other words, our body changing. The way that it is now is not the way it remains, right? So it doesn't just necessarily mean, you know, as far as sickness and disease, the transformation, but just the way it is, the way your body works, the way it naturally things in this world, the way they deteriorate, the way things corrupt, right? Those things are changed in your life, right? You see examples of that all over the Bible, and you see examples in your own life. But obviously, a very vivid example and one that's pretty well known, right, of Abraham and of Sarah, right? These things affected their body. Where even though, and the Lord documents that well so that people understand how far past the age they were. In other words, the natural course of things, they were already past the natural course of things. They were past the age that would be possible for their bodies, right? Not anything to do with the Lord, not anything to do with the Spirit of God. It was not possible anymore bodily for them, right? The truth, right? The truth in their hearts and in their minds changed that about their body, right? So it changed their mind. Yes, it was renewed first in their heart and their mind, and then it began to happen. And really, something that Pastor Mike was talking about earlier that just, I think, goes along really well with this is that, you know, the Lord says that, you know, it is time and due time. In other words, that the day is spent, that the time is late, right? That we that are in the church, it says that we should awake from our sleep. You know what I'm saying? That we would put on put on the armor of light, right? Now obviously that could be applicable to somebody who is not saved to get saved, right? Because obviously even when you renew your mind to a small extent where you have received salvation, you have put on Christ to that extent in your mind, right? But he says here, and we can read it real quick in Romans 13 and verse number 11, right? Romans 13, I'll check that real quick. Romans 13, 11. He says, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Now it's interesting that kind of the wording here that you hear is like to cast off. Now when he talks about there about casting off is you've also seen it in different verses talking about like put off or put away, right? So here the wording is cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Well, what happens there, right, is that when you put on, and he actually gives you, I think, a pretty good, right, actually in the same chapter, he gives you a good definition of the armor of light, right? But I mean, obviously, that is not, when you see the word armor, I think people's minds, you know, and we've said this before, but people's minds go to something that they like can put upon their body, and like that in and of itself, like it's like equipment or something, right? Like your mind goes into this metaphorical thing, right? But obviously, God is intending for us to understand that there is something that's being done, something that's happening to you that's being done. And he's saying the day is late. This is something that we ought to be busy about. Like this is something that ought to be happening and occurring in us, right? So he's saying, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And then he says, let us walk properly as in the day, not in rivalry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So he kind of gives you a really good view there, right? Because he calls it first putting on the armor of light, and then he calls it in verse 14, just two verses later, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So the put the armor of light, right? In Ephesians, Paul talks about it as the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, right? Here he's calling it the armor of light. In Ephesians, he talks about it as the armor of God, right? But it's funny that in Ephesians, he says, be strong in the Lord. And we talked about that for a bit, right? A service or two, right? He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, right? That we would be strong in him and the power of his might. And what we talked about when we talked about strength, when we talk about being strong, you are not strong if you're weak in your knowledge of the Lord, right? If you're weak in your knowledge of the Lord, you're not being strengthened, right? If you're not growing in your knowledge of God, you're not being strengthened. You're not, in other words, growth, when people say, I'm growing in Christ, I'm growing in the Lord, the only thing that should mean is that you're growing in the knowledge of who he is, what he's done, right? And the glory that you possess now. In other words, that Ephesians chapter 1 is an image of growth, right? I understand what the Lord has finished. I understand what he's given me, right? I understand the glory that I possess now. I understand who I've been made, right? That it wraps into the new creation that you've been made. It wraps into the inheritance that you have, the power that's at work on the inside of you, and that which is being drawn out of you, right? So here he says the armor of light and put on Christ. But what all of this is saying is the way that he talks about lewdness. He talks about basically calls it the works of darkness, things that are of this world. The way those things are cast off of you is not by a carnal way, right? In other words, in I think it's 2 Corinthians 10, I believe, he says the weapons of our warfare, right? When you see the word armor here we're in Romans 13, you see the word armor in Romans 13, you see the word armor in Ephesians chapter 6, you see the word weapons in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that word armor and the word weapon are the same word, right? So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The armor right, is not carnal, right? In other words, the armor, when the Lord talks about armor and it talks about weapons, what he's talking about is, as you look at all the pieces of the armor and you look at what he's saying here, the armor of light, that's literally talking about the renewing of your mind by the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? As your mind is renewed, and I know the church talks a lot about the renewal of the mind, like that's discussed, right? But the interesting thing is, we talk about the armor of light here, we talk about the armor of God here, we talk about the renewing of the mind here. Like, these are all separate doctrines or separate things, right? And it's all, in other words, what he's saying is the day is late. We should awake from our sleep and allow, the Lord is saying, allow me access into your heart, which is your doing, right? It is our doing to allow the Lord access into our mind, right? That's for you to do. The acknowledgement of God is for you to do, right? That's for you to give the Lord entrance. And when you give entrance to the Lord into your heart and mind, when you acknowledge, right, that you have a living word on the inside of it, that you have a God who speaks in you. And the God who speaks is the one that will teach you, right? In other words, Christ in you will teach you. That's why, right, we've been reading that verse several times. He says, if you have heard him and have been taught by him, right? This is a person teaching you, right? This is not you getting into a textbook. This is an individual speaking to you. It's you giving him the time of day for him to be able to speak into your heart and mind. In other words, that that you would allow the Lord to teach you, to make you his disciple. What he said about his disciples at the time, he says, if you could, you are not my disciples unless you continue in my word, right? Is the same thing that applies to people today, right? If we do not continue, right, to listen to him, then we are not learned ones. In other words, a disciple is a learned one. You don't become a disciple by reading a book. You become a disciple by listening to the Lord, right? And surely you can read scripture. You can read scripture, and the Lord can meet you exactly where you're at. And at first, honestly, where the majority of Christians at first, the only word from God that you hear is while you're reading scripture, because people, or while you're in church, right, that you hear the Lord speak through someone else. You hear the Lord speak through Paul. You hear the Lord speak through a pastor. You hear the Lord speak through a teacher, through an evangelist, and people receive, and that's how they begin, right? But the church needs to know it is way time and due time, right, for people to be able to begin to acknowledge the Lord and learn what it means to acknowledge God and give him entrance into your heart. He lives in you, and he's there to get into your heart, and then he desires to come upon you, right? He desires for you to put him on, right? He desires for you to put him on. This is Jesus saying, put me on, right? Put on Christ. He's saying, put me on, right? Put me on in your mind, right? And then put me on in your body, right? Put me on. In other words, when he says put on Christ, is that in your mind, right, it says that he would abide there, that he would abide in your heart, that he would abide in your heart. In other words, that not only does he dwell in you, but that Christ would dwell in your hearts through faith, right? That he would dwell there, that he's in there, that he's teaching, that he's speaking to you, right? You can sense the Lord showing you things, giving you revelation. Paul says the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you see things now that you didn't see things before, that you see the Lord clearer, right? That your sight is not as dim as it used to be, but now you're seeing the Lord clear. So then when people say, you look back at a year and you say, wow, Lord, how many cool things you have shown us this year. Like, we can say that. We can say that about this church, right? Like, Lord, how many cool things you have shown us? How many cool things you have emphasized us? How you have sharpened our eyes to be able to see things clearer, right? But that wasn't always the case, right? I don't know about you, but I remember it coming out of my mouth, saying, Lord, thank you, my God, you know, that this year, you know, I've grown in you. And I started to think, and I'm like, you know what, Lord, I really actually don't know what that means, because I don't know exactly how I've grown, right? It felt good saying it at the end of a year, like, oh, you've grown in the Lord, but I don't really know what that means, and I don't know how I grew, because I feel the same, right? I feel the same. So I'll tell you this much too. Don't judge your growth in the Lord by what you see, right? In other words, don't judge your growth in Christ by the results that you see in your life, right? You are coming to know the Lord. The manifestation that comes out of you, right? That is none of your business, right? That is something that the Lord does, and the Lord will work that out through you, right? All our job, if we can call it that, right, is listening to Him. Give the Lord access into your heart. And when I look back at this year, and I look back at all the previous years, I can see, and I've mentioned it many times, but how the Lord brought us from progression to progression, right? Brought us from one thing after the other. And you know, the way you can look at Scripture, right? After so many years, you can look at Scripture and you see Scripture in its right light. You know what? You can see Scripture like you see church. That is the Lord preaching through Paul to me. Is it good for God to preach through men to you? Of course it is, right? It is the Word. Listen to this now. Because is the Word, because people say, well, Paul is not here. Okay, but here's the thing. Is the Word that God spoke through Paul dead because Paul himself is not here? Of course not, right? Whatever God has ever spoken through any man ever, the things that God spoke to Adam and Eve, right, are applicable to us today. The things that God spoke to Moses are applicable to us today, right? The way that the Lord revealed Christ, right, to the people of Israel is the same gospel that the Lord is preaching to us today. Therefore, that doesn't get old. It doesn't lose power. It doesn't lose relevance in our lives, right? But it is still, just as God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, so the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the thing for us to know, obviously, you look at Scripture in the right light. You see, look, just like the church is intended to teach, right? To share, right? For there to be a sharing within the church so that people can be equipped for the work of the ministry. So Scripture is intended to teach, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, right? That we would be able to be people that are well equipped. Why? Because we not only do we know and have our minds been renewed, but we also understand where things are found in Scripture, and then you can teach other people. So it's not only are you speaking to them, but also you can show them. Like, look at right here. Look at how this is not something that we just came up with. Like, look, this is an old book. This is very, very old, written years ago, right? And look, and it's still the same. And look at how this qualifies to this and how this applies to that, right? So what the Lord is doing, you know, as we allow, what it says there, the context there is, he says in verse number 12, right? The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light, right? There is a putting on, right? As you acknowledge the Lord and allow the Lord access into your heart to teach you, right? And to disciple you, right? To enlighten the eyes of your understanding, you're doing exactly that. You're putting on the armor of light, right? And obviously verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. You know, there's something important that I want to bring you, but I'll read it one more time so we kind of have that in our mind. It says, to put on the Lord, and that while you put on the Lord, and we ought to just really listen to that, right? You're putting on the Lord. We don't talk about that a lot, right? I don't even think in this church you hear that spoken a lot, right? Putting on the Lord, right? That's not a common thing that flies out of people's mouth. Therefore, it is not something you know well, right? So when you talk about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, right, that is you're giving Him entrance into your heart, right? Like He dwells in your heart by faith. In other words, by knowledge. He dwells in your heart by knowledge. Through knowledge, He dwells in your heart, right? So it's important. He says, as you do that, you are making no provision for the flesh, right? You're making no provision for the flesh. He talks about it first about casting off the works of darkness. Here he says, you're making no provision. And it's almost like you're giving no allowance. You're giving it no leeway, right? You're making no provision for it. In other words, you're cutting it off at the knees, right? How does that happen? By the one thing that is needful, by the same thing that the Lord has been teaching us, right? Let me renew your mind. Let me change the way that you think. Now, when we've mentioned, I think there's a message that Pastor Mike has preached on this. I'm not sure, but when Joshua entered, before he came in and what came into the city Jericho, right? That the walls of Jericho came down, right? And before that happened, right after they came through the river, it says, and they were baptized, it said they came out and they see the commander of the Lord's army, and he has a sword in his hand, right? So, and obviously you see that correlation, right? The sword is an example of the Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the sword of the Spirit, right? So that's not Joshua being strong in his might. The entering of Joshua into the city Jericho, right, is being strong in the power of the Lord's might. Right? That wasn't Joshua's doing, that was the Lord's doing, right? So the commander of the Lord's army, right, he's present, and Joshua tells him, a little similar to what Pastor Mike was talking about earlier about Samuel, like Samuel said, Lord, speak, your servant is listening. Joshua says, Lord, like speak to me, like what do you want of me? And what you see is the example of the walls of Jericho coming down, right? There are things in our minds that are fortresses. In other words, things that have been built up. There are minds in the lives of Christians, things that have been built up for years, right? For years. In other words, things that are so established in the minds of people that where they think from is from there, right? Their reasoning is not from Christ in them. Their reasoning is from that, right? Whatever has been fortified in their mind, things that came from, who knows, right? Teachers from years ago, their pastor from 25 years, the way their mama grew up, the church that they've been in, the things that they heard, the television programs that they watch, whatever it is, right? There are things that have been built up and fortified in their mind. And it is from that place that they think, and when they speak very, they feel very sure about that, right? About what they're saying, because they're establishing that thing. That is a thinking that has been set, and when they talk, they reason from that place, right? When you reason from the gospel to another Christian, right? Even as we're doing now, as people are watching and we're sharing here, right? When you reason with people from the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The same spirit that is in you is in them. And what will happen is it'll come to a place, right, where they will either stop disagreeing and then not argue anymore, and will just, in other words, there is no argument for the gospel, right? I mean, you can speak to someone and you can pin them into a corner, right? And they'll get to a place where they'll just say, well, you know what? Well, I just don't agree with that. But they'll have no rebuttal for it, because scripture is scripture, right? When the Spirit of God is teaching, he's teaching, and you have scripture after scripture to prove this time and again and again and again what's being said, right? So you can only deny it so many times until you get to a place where you say, well, they'll say, oh, it's up to interpretation, right? Which is, the Bible clearly says, is not up to interpretation, because scripture is not about private interpretation, right? The only one that can teach us scripture is the shepherd, right? There is one that can reveal. Men do not reveal scripture to themselves. Men do not read scripture and reveal it to themselves. The Spirit of God is the only one that reveals. He is the only one that enlightens. He is the only one that teaches, right? In the covenant that we're in, we have such a tight covenant with the Lord, right, that we have no need that men would teach us. We have a teacher. We have no need that men teach us. We have our own personal teacher. He is an individual, a person that walks around in us, and he saved us, and he gave everything for us, and now he dwells and lives in us and wants access to your brain to teach you up there, right? That is put very simplistically, but there are things that are so built up, and some of these things that are built up in our hearts are not even doctrinal things. There are things that may be just habits. They may be just things that occur, or recurring things that are so built up. But I want to show you, and the verse that we just read in verse number 14 said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust, right? How is it that actually works? Like, how is it that no provision is made? By the renewing of your mind, right? But then stay with me. Let's go over to, and I'll show you what I'm getting at here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, right? And I prayed, right, that we just see this, right? That we don't see it the way it is normally seen. Obviously, people watching online or, you know, or us that are here, 2 Corinthians 10:3, 10:3, Paul says here, he says, you know what, I walk in the flesh, but I don't war according to the flesh. In other words, I have a body, but I do not fight, or I don't try to resolve my problems and the things that are going on by fleshly means, right? So he says, I walk in the flesh, but we don't war according to the flesh. So he's making it clear to the people at Corinth that he is writing to say, be careful how you discern who I am, right? Because I'm speaking to you from the Lord, right? I am not speaking to you from a carnal sense, and I'm not talking to you through carnal means or trying to use fancy words or trying to use the word of God deceitfully. He says, I'm speaking to you from the Lord. So he says, for the weapon, verse number four, the weapons of our warfare, in other words, the way that I come against untruth, the way that I come against things that are against the knowledge of Christ, and all that something needs to be against the knowledge of Christ is to exclude him. That's all. All that you need to do, right, for a doctrine to be anti-Christ is to exclude the God who makes it a doctrine, right? Exclude the Christ who made it so. Because you can teach prosperity all day long, but prosperity without Jesus is an anti-Christ teaching, right? Prosperity without Jesus is an anti-Christ teaching. Anything that we teach that is outside of the provision of what the Lord has done is just something that men made up, and it is not according to him, right? God does not promote it. God has never promoted a teaching, right, that does not testify of his son. God has never promoted a teaching that does not testify about Jesus Christ, right? There would be no reason for him to promote it. Why would he want to? He sent his son for the purpose of saving people, right? Why would he promote something that does not engage people to understand what he did through Jesus Christ? God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Why would he do anything to bring attention to anything else other than to how he saved the world? The world, point blank, needs salvation. That's it, right? He did that. The world needs to be saved. He did that. Right? The church needs to work out their salvation, right? He'll do that, right? What do we have to do? Right? Nothing that is his job, right? We don't have to save people and we don't have to work it out. What do we have to do? We have to acknowledge the Lord and give him access into our heart so that he can teach us, right? That's all, right? Access into our heart so he can teach us. So he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. He said in Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, right? Speaking about putting on Christ, right? Every single piece of the armor is putting on Christ, right? Christ is your armor, right? He is the armor, right? He is the armor. He's the armor of light. He's the armor of God. He is the armor. He's the one we're putting on, right? So he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down. That word pulling down there is destroying or demolishing, right? To destroy or demolish. You know, we have changed the look of our website a little bit. And to be honest with you, I think the changes are good. I think the site is very welcoming. I think the colors are very beautiful, right? But honestly, I think this is my opinion, and if I'm alone in this, that's fine. I think that change was more for other people than it was for us, right? Because what you saw there before, right, was Reformed Church and a completely demolished landscape behind you. That's what you saw, right? And people would look at that and be, the heck kind of landscape is that for a church, right? But why? Because they want to see green grass and maybe a little sheep and a little shepherd with a little stick, right? Because those carnal things make sense. But it's interesting that the church cannot get together and rejoice over a church that in their backdrop of their website has a completely demolished and destroyed landscape, right? Why? Because that is what the Lord wants to do with every single, and here he calls it a stronghold, which is a fortress, right? Everything that has been built up over years within the church, he wants to take that and watch, without any care whatsoever. I remember, and there are still things the Lord continues to do, obviously, doing in my mind. But I remember years ago when the Lord began to do that, right? take things that I had held on tightly to for years that were, I mean, these were pillars in my life, right? And he just take like nothing, just knock them down. Like you know what? Like, that's nothing. Like, I'm hanging on to dear life to these things, and he takes it out from under me like it's nothing, right? I mean, I was convinced that the way that I prosper is by tithing to my church. That's the way you do it. You want to prosper? Tithe to your church. Give and it'll be given unto you, right? That's the deal. You want to prosper? Give. And you know what? Because you give, God will give back to you. The only problem is that right there is an antichrist teaching, because the one it's missing is Jesus Christ, because it has nothing to do with what he did. If I have to give for God to give to me, what do I need Jesus for? What do I need the power to wealth from the inside of me for? Sure as heck don't need to, right? I don't need him. Anything that I can do by myself, I don't need Jesus for. And if I don't need him, then he's not my savior, right? There is nothing that the church can do without Christ. Jesus said, without me, you can do nada, nothing. I wish I knew how to say it in Greek, and I'd say it that way too and in Hebrew. Without me, you can do nothing. There is nothing fruitful that the church can do outside of the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's why he sent him, right? Because we couldn't. The purpose of the law is so that we could come to that huge realization, I cannot. And you know the awesome thing is? You don't need a revelation of the Spirit of God to know you can't. Right? You just need a law to come by and for you to fail and fall out flat on your face time and time and time and time again. Guess what? Open up your eyes, look at the world, and guess what you're going to see? People falling flat on their face time and time again. Hold on to education. You will find educated, poverty-stricken people. Hold on to fame. You will find famous people that today are drug addicts in a rehab somewhere, right? Hold on to anything in this world, and you will see people that held on to it, it slipped through their fingers, and today have nothing, right? Nothing. Hold on to the lottery and think that that's going to be your saving grace, right? And you see that most people that win the lottery are broke within a year, right? Hold on to anything in this world, and you will recognize that it falls through your fingers because it is nothing. It is not eternal. It is not of the life of God that he provided. It is just of this world. And somewhere along the line, right, as you allow, you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, right, and he becomes your savior, he begins to renew your mind. You come to a place where Paul was, that hopefully we are there and continue to grow from there, where he looks at the things of this world and he said, you know what? Everything that I held on to today, I count it as actually loss. In other words, it's not an ability, it's an illability. It's not a talent, it's something that holds me back, right? It's not something that I can cling to, it's something that I can't even bear to even look at anymore, right? It's not something that I stand on, it's something that I want to kick away from myself, right? It's you come to the place where you say, you know what, Lord, you are the rock on which I stand. You're the steadfastness of my mind. You are the one that brings peace into my heart. You're the one that, as long as I keep my heart stayed on you, Lord, you're the one that keeps my mind in perfect peace. You're the one that keeps me healthy. You're the one that has given me life. You're the one that's put all of these things in me. You begin to put on the Lord, right? You begin to make it part of your regular routine in your day and in your life and in your walk, acknowledging the Lord, welcoming him to come in and correct and tear things down. But we're still at a place, and listen, all over the place, we are at a place, you know what, where we still hold very tightly to these things. And you know what? I pray that we would get to a place where we're saying, Lord, you know what? I want you to come in and pull those things down and to not care what it is. Because listen, there are things that you hold tightly, so tightly to, that you'll cry when the Lord breaks them down, right? But it is, listen, I'll tell you from, you know, as far as we've gone, it is a great place to be. Because you don't realize that they're just things of this world. Listen, there is one that blinds the minds of people so that they cannot see the light of the gospel, right? There is one that does that. See, the reason why the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but it says in verse number 5, that he's casting down arguments, in other words, thoughts, casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself, that lifts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ. That lifts, listen, and it says here, the knowledge of God, right? And you would say, well, why did you say Christ there? Well, Number one, obviously we know the Lord, God is known through his son, right? If it were not for his son, you wouldn't know God, right? No one knows anything about God other than he's very powerful. That's it. And he made everything that we see. You can see that without seeing Jesus, right? But everything was made by him and for him anyway. But beside that, but he says here, the reason why I said Christ is because it says the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, look at the wording, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, right? That the thought would become obedient to the knowledge of Christ, right? And watch what it says there. And being ready, look at the word, to punish. These are not nice words, right? This is not the Lord trying to be gentle in your heart and to tiptoe around the thing that you hold so dear because he doesn't want to hurt your feelings, right? This is him taking it. He wants to take it and rip it apart and tear it down as nicely as he tore down the walls of Jericho. That nice, right? That nice and that careful to demolish it. So it's nothing but a wasteland, and then he can come in. Right? He can come in and you can receive life, right? For it is out of the mind that the issues of life come, right? Now imagine what can happen in us when the mind is renewed, where what's coming out of our heart and what's coming out of my mouth, right, are what? Things from a mind that has been now renewed, made new, right? Made new and like Christ. He says, being ready to punish all disobedience. Listen, you see the wording? To punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled, right? Right? In other words, when you have become obedient to the truth, Paul said to the Galatians, he said, who has bewitched you that you would not obey the truth? Who's bewitched you? In other words, who's casting a spell in your mind and bringing you all of this garbage that he said, we were reading just the other service. He said, I'm afraid for you. I'm afraid for you that somebody would come up to you and just preach another Jesus and you'd like embrace it wholeheartedly. Like we're some kind of ignorant people that don't know the Lord that saved us, right? Why? Because when you move so far away from the God who saved you and how you got saved, you'll embrace anything, right? If you've gone so far away, you have no discernment, right? When you don't go back to the basic discernment, which is to know the spirit of Christ and the spirit of error. And the only way to know that is any spirit, any person that preaches and teaches by a spirit that does not declare that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and died on a cross, right? In other words, speaking about what Christ did, what he finished for us, right? He said, that's how you easily tell the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And obviously by the spirit of God, it's very easy, right? Because he makes it very apparent. I mean, you listen to something, you're like, wow, there's something wrong with that. Even if something can be so eloquent that there is a chance that, you know, you're hearing things that maybe you don't understand fully, you'll know there's something wrong with it. Like when you get yourself used to listening to Christ and him crucified and the glory that followed, right? When you get yourself listening, the gospel is Jesus Christ and him crucified and the glory that followed. When you get yourself used to listening to the Lord teach you that, right? You can't, it's impossible for you to hear the Lord teaching that all the time, revealing Jesus to you, what he finished, what he's done, what he's finished, what he's done, what he's finished, what he's done, and then sit down underneath somebody and hear somebody just blabber out some message and you don't hear anything about what Jesus did and a bell not go off in your mind to say, something's wrong with that. Something is wrong with that. And what is gonna be wrong with that is the same thing every time. The same thing every time. The same exact thing. Listen, right now, to be honest with you, I cannot think right now of anything that I can say about what Jesus provided for me that is too high, right? The human mind, listen, the human mind by itself, human reasoning, cannot even fathom the things that God has done, right? So that means that there is nothing that anybody could ever tell me that is going to be like, yeah, that's way out there. That's way too high. I really don't think Jesus gave me that. Because it can't even fit into my own thinking, right? Parts of my mind that are unrenewed cannot even understand, can't even begin. Like, I can't, with a carnal mind, understand everything he's given me, right? So there is nothing that we should eliminate that should be one of the first things, right, that God corrects in your mind, that when you begin to see the inheritance that you have, you're like, you know what, this is no small thing. Like if it comes out of my mouth saying, you know, I think I'm taking the salvation that Jesus Christ provided for me too far, there's something wrong with you. With your thinking, there's something wrong with that. If you can say that someone has taken the salvation that Jesus provided too far, it's like saying, you know, the heavenly things, they're too much for me. If you, that's in essence what you're saying. Because you don't know all the things that are, that right? That knowledge is in you if you're saved. But you don't know all of the things of how heavenly things work, right? How eternal life actually works, right? How there is no corruption, there is no death, there is no sadness, there is no tears, there is no depression, there is no sickness, there is no disease, there is none of that, right? We're talking about the heaven of God Almighty where none of that dwells in, right? And it is that heaven that we have on the inside of us in here. Right? In other words, to the human mind cannot fathom a world like that. Believe me, it wants a world like that. It does. It wants a world like that. It wants a world where you know what? You can put a mechanical heart in me, and every time it fails, I'll give you a new one. But you know what they're still talking about? Corruption, right? Eternal life is not like that. Eternal life, you don't get a new nothing, right? The newness that's in you comes out, and you're done. You're new, and you never wear. Right? No one has to ever give you a new anything, right? You don't buy a new nothing every year in heaven, right? Nothing wears, nothing fades, nothing gets old, nothing corrupts, right? When you allow, listen, as you allow the Lord to come in and begin to tear down the things that people hold so dear to, you know what you're doing? You're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, then his thoughts, right, are not higher than your thinking, and his ways then are not higher. You know, he became the way for us, not so that we wouldn't use the way, right? He became the way so that that would become our way, right? He became our life so that that would be our life, right? He became that truth, right? So that we, that would be the truth that's in our mind, right? He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that's a reality of every Christian today. All that's happening in the renewal of our mind is us getting a clue again. You could hear it brand new right now. Getting a clue or a full understanding, right, of everything that's already fully complete on the inside of you. Fully complete. You're a new creation. You need to allow the Lord to teach you, what does that mean? I'm a brand new creation. And if I am brand new, what am I like, right? You could be beholding the glory of the Lord and understanding where all of that came from, who provided all that for you, and the righteousness. He didn't just give it to you and then say, here, work for it. He gave it to you and then said, here, alongside of that is the righteousness now. You have full access into it. The next question after he shows you your inheritance and the righteousness to access where you stand, right? The next question to ask is, well, what's stopping me then? And you know what you find? Not a dang thing, right? Not a dang thing is stopping you from receiving anything that you have already on the inside of you. Not a dang thing. Nothing. Nothing. Just what's in between these 2 ears, right? That right there. And that's what he wants to deal with, right? That's what we want to give him access to so he can show you who you are. We live in a world where everybody's trying to find themselves. We live in a world where everybody wants to make allowances for everybody's quote-unquote differences, right? Because, you know, if you make allowances for everybody's difference, because everybody's different, you got to let everybody express themselves, right? But here's the beautiful thing. We that have been made a new creation, he can already tell you who you are. You don't have to go find yourself somewhere. He can just teach you who you are, who you've been made, who you are born of. Listen, everything that the world seeks, they want to belong, right? They talk about family, they talk about unity, right? Unity in the world, all these things, everything that the world is clamoring for, that it holds to the same imperfect world too, is the same thing that you've already been given freely. And the Lord says, just go ahead and draw it out. Just go ahead and take from it. Just go ahead and become an active participant and a partaker in what I've given you.